Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Mickey Ryan, Brent Doherty, live from beautiful Greystone Golf Club. DMD, Fight DMD golf tournament going on. JT efforting Chris Lowe. Oh, he's there. He's there. I just didn't see this call screener thing. I'm not seeing what I expected to see. Chris, you're there. It's magic. Welcome into the show.
Hey, guys. What'd you shoot today at the golf course? What'd you shoot?
Zero. Didn't play today. Would have liked to have played today, but a lot going on. Football season. Hey, let me jump right in. I'm going to go Big Ten, which is going to surprise you to start there. But how important is this game for Jim Harbaugh? 3.5-point underdog at Wisconsin. 1-5, Jim Harbaugh against ranked teams on the road. If they lose that one, does it get a little loud with that fan base?
I don't know if it gets loud because people will be upset, but if it's not Jim Harbaugh, who is it there? And that's what I've talked to people close to that program. I mean, if you polled 100 or 1,000 Michigan fans, who do you want as head football coach? 1,000 would have said Jim Harbaugh. And it's not like he's been a disaster. Now, he hasn't beaten Ohio State, and as you point out, he hasn't won a lot of games against ranked teams. So I don't think it gets loud this quick now. We're sitting here this time next year, and they've lost Ohio State again, and they've lost, you know, they say they lose this game, and they just haven't, you know, won some of the games that they expected to win in Michigan, then I think it's a different story.
I think you're being reasonable, and fan bases aren't reasonable sometimes.
Right. Clearly, from a national perspective, though, if he loses this game, then, you know, with what he's paid and the fact that he was hailed, you like the pun there, hailed to the victors. He was hailed as the savior of Michigan football. There are going to be a lot of people wondering, hey, you know, what's going on here? Is he the guy or not?
And I think, too, Chris, that'll crank up the heat in the NFL because he won in that league. And there'll be people who say, hey, man, the shelf life's over in Michigan. What do you want to come and coach the whomever, you know, the Texans or whoever it's going to be? I mean, he's going to get so many offers.
And see, that's to me the scenario that I think is more likely. I don't think, you know, you're going to see him pushed out or forced out at Michigan. I really don't. And, you know, now you never say never. Never's a long time. But I think the more likely scenario is he decides, you know what, this hasn't worked out the way I wanted it to. It hasn't worked out the way the people at Michigan, which is, let's face it, it's his alma mater. He loves that place. I'm going to go back to the NFL. You know, I'm going to make a lot of money in the NFL. Like you said, he's won there before. That, to me, is the more likely scenario.
Chris Lowe, our guest, national college football writer for ESPN, at CLowe ESPN. This Georgia-Notre Dame game is really being hyped up in the TV world, and I'm looking forward to watching it. But anybody that I know that has a Southern accent, Chris, is predicting Georgia to just kill them.
Decapitation.
Well, part of it is the last few times that Notre Dame has played a Southern school, certainly an SEC school, it hasn't ended real well. Would you agree? I think that's part of it. Playing there in Athens, you know what kind of environment that's going to be there. I think Georgia, to me, if you start talking about right now, based on what we've seen, what I know, having traveled around this preseason, I think Georgia's one of the best 3 or 4 teams in college football. I don't know that Notre Dame has the athleticism, has what it's going to take up front on both lines of scrimmage to go in there and win. So, no, I would be very, very surprised if Notre Dame wins this game. Now, is Georgia going to go in and beat him by 3 touchdowns? I don't know about that. But I think Georgia will win this game, and I think they will win handily. And I think once we get into the fourth quarter, it's probably going to be one of those games where we know what the outcome is going to be.
I'll go 3 touchdowns on it. Let's go.
What's the spread again?
It's up to 14.5 now.
Yeah. It may be. You know, it may be one of those games where Georgia just controls the game, and then, you know, you get in the fourth quarter, you get late in the third quarter and the fourth quarter, and Georgia just really pulls away.
What about Auburn at Texas A&M? Looking forward to that matchup. I kind of like the Aggies there with the freshman quarterback going to Kyle Field.
That, to me, is the most intriguing matchup of the weekend, because I think Auburn's one of those teams, when you just look at them in a vacuum 1,000 feet away, could win just about any conference in the country, maybe with the exception of the SEC. If you put Auburn in the ACC, now I don't think they're better than Clemson or the Pac-12, they'd have a chance to be right there in the mix. And the SEC and SEC West, when their schedule, when you factor in the schedule that Auburn plays this year, that changes everything. And you know, A&M going there, playing at, you know, Georgia and Alabama in November, having to play at LSU. They've already had to play Oregon. They play at Florida. I like this matchup because I think, A, Auburn's defense is really good. And we're going to find out what the Knicks kid has on the road against a defense that's pretty good in a tough environment. Knicks has already shown that he's got what it takes, and he's not going to be wowed by the big stage. We saw what he did against Oregon in that first game. This is a whole different animal, though, to go on the road to College Station. I know A&M, a lot of people think they're going to win this game. I wouldn't count out the Auburn Tigers, though. I think defensively they make enough plays. And here's the other thing, Brent. Kellen Mond, I was at the Clemson A&M game. He's going to play a lot better and throw the football a lot better than he did against Clemson. He really, you know, Clemson's good enough defensively. They're going to make a lot of quarterbacks look bad, but he's not playing well at all. He's going to have to step his game up significantly for A&M to win this football game.
Chris, how do you see Tennessee and Florida shaking out? I know it's a
Tennessee and Florida shaking out for the last two decades.
Okay. Well, okay, but how do you see it getting to that point?
Ouch.
And I know that's a very smart alecky reply, but I've seen this movie, Brent. You've seen this movie a lot over the years. This Florida team is not the Florida team, certainly when the head ball coach was there, not the kind of Florida team when Urban was there. They're gettable in some areas, but Tennessee is just so limited right now, so young and inexperienced in both lines of scrimmage, you know, and defensively and offensively. With what Florida can do to you on the defensive side of the ball, the way Ty Grant is going to come after them, that offensive line, that's where I think Tennessee really is exposed, is I just don't think they can protect and block well enough to stay in this football game. I think ultimately that's what you see happen, and that's why I think Florida wins the football game.
Totally agree. Let's go LSU-Vanderbilt, LSU by 24 here in Nashville.
You know, you wonder, where is LSU mostly right now? They won some big games. They won big. They scored a ton of points. Everybody's talking about how great they are. And I really love Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is outstanding.
Outstanding.
He's been such a difference. And let's give Ed Ogeron credit, the way he's tweaked his offensive staff and what they're doing. But you just wonder, this sort of has a feel to me, that kind of game where, not that LSU's looking past them, but they've heard the noise, they've heard how good they are. They come in, Vanderbilt a lot scrappier than probably people give them credit for. I know they got a lot of respect for Derek Mason defensively to try to do some things to confuse them. That maybe Vanderbilt hangs around this game and it's not just a total blowout that a lot of people are expecting it to be.
I agree. I like Vanderbilt plus the 24. I like Tennessee plus the 14, but Florida winning and LSU winning. Kind of where I am, too.
The last time the Vols won, and we talked about this, the last time the Vols won the Swamp, 2003.
Your boy Hollywood was a freshman.
Yep. That's right. Hollywood was a freshman. Remember the big play in that game? The big play in that game was right before half. They throw a Hail Mary, just batted around, and James Banks catches it at the back of the end zone. And that sort right. that completely changed the momentum of that game, and Tennessee ends up running it. They ran it a million times in the second half, Jabari Davis. And they ended up winning that game. Really sort of an ugly game, but they ended up winning pretty handily. Gosh, that was 2003. It's hard to believe yep. it's been that long, but it's been a long time. But, no, I think Tennessee played much better against BYU. It's hard to really get a gauge on what last week meant. It really is. But they played much better against a better team. We'll see how much improvement they've made in 2 weeks. And I got a feeling Bryce Thompson plays in this game. Yep. I don't know if anything's been announced today, but I think he plays, and that will make a difference for Tennessee defensively as well.
Yeah, I talked to Matt Hayes with Bleacher Report today. He's down in Jacksonville, and he was going on and on about how Tennessee is actually better than what they've shown.
They are. I mean, you know, yeah. It's just that first game was so unforgivable. They were so ill-prepared from a coaching standpoint, from a playing standpoint. That's no excuse, but lost to an awful team. I mean, there's no way they should lose to Georgia State. And I think that's scared everyone's opinion of Tennessee. Hey, and they got to live with it. They're the ones that lost the game. And then come back, and you saw improvement against BYU. Last week is what it is. I think we get four games in this week on the road at a place Tennessee. It's just been a chamber of horrors for Tennessee, a much better gauge and feel for what Tennessee is and who they are this week.
Yes, sir. Chris Lowe, always Mondays and Fridays. Have a great weekend. What game are you going to be at this weekend?
I get a home game. I get to stay right here in Knoxville with the family. I'll be grilling out, thinking of you guys on Saturday, watching all the games. And let's not forget, and I know you guys have pumped it up, let's not forget Turner's Heroes. And I urge all fans to help. What a great organization. What a great cause. And Turner Cockle's memory, you know, and help Derek Mason, help Vanderbilt for this cause. All money, you know, going to the pediatric cancer. But I would urge people and ask people to donate and do what they can for this cause as LSU comes to town. Trying to raise, of course, his number was 82. What is it, 82? In 82 hours, they're trying to raise, $50,000? Is that the goal?
Derek Mason and his wife said they would match up to $25,000. So there you go.
And that gets
what a great gesture. Yeah. What a great gesture by Derek and his wife. And it says a lot about who he is and a lot about what Turner meant to Derek and that program.
Absolutely. Chris, have a great weekend. Enjoy that grilling out. We'll talk to you on Monday.
All right. See you guys.